Blog Talk Radio.
Keep knocked out silent, so y'all quiet.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live, Yahuwah Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I be your host, by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called, a brand new series. It's called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, the Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, Part 5. And we're going to go see who's going to be on stage for tonight's episode. The elder will be a little bit later, and he'll tell you all about the broadcast, and we'll see if we find who's going to be on stage to kind of kick off the lesson of tape 5, and we'll see. All right. Who's coming on stage for tonight's episode of tape 5? The Young Lion. All right. Good enough. The Young Lion is coming on stage for tonight's episode, part number 5, Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, the Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, Part 5. So when you meet the Young Lion with a loud voice, you say, the up-and-coming teacher out of Camp 1, Yahuwah be there, see Roy.
And Yahuwah bless you there, see Israel. Oh, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, there, Young Lion. Well, one thing about it, a job got to be done, and we're going to do our part in the job. And we're going to deal with all the propaganda that we're hearing so far. No doubt about a lot of propaganda on the table. And we're going to deal with everything because one thing about it. Let's see if we can get some Luke and we'll go to EZRA. Let's see why we got to take a little look at these things. Let's take a look at Tape 5, Elder be on shortly. Tape 5, Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. You're on the clock there, Young Lion. Come on, let's get something going on.
Okay. Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
That's right there, Young Lion. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say in that very same hour. But propaganda is at its highest there, Young Lion, and we're going to see, can we see what the Bible tell you to do when you got propaganda. First thing you have to do, you have to be, I'll be taking notes myself, you have to look at Acts chapter 17, 10 and 11. Let's see how we can walk this down a little bit. Acts chapter 17 there, Young Lion. And we'll look at verse number 10 and 11. What did I say there, Young Lion? Acts 10, Acts 17, 10 and 11.
Okay, going to the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 10 and verse 11. Book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 10 reads, and the brothers immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the temple of Yadaju. Verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the words with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, rather those things were so. 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also the honorable women which were Greeks and of men, not a few.
So, what he's saying, you gotta, search the scripture to see if what you hear is so. But in Amos chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, there, young lion, can you help those see how I've written in Amos chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3?
They're heading over to the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Amos, chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 reads, "Hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. Stand. 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins. 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed?"
He said, you only have I known out of all the families of the earth. Can two walk together except they agree? Now, what two you talking about that can two walk together unless they agree? That's a pretty good statement right there. Can two walk together unless they agree? What is that you're talking about in the 33rd chapter that we can read? Let's go to Jeremiah 33, pick up at verse 24, down to verse 26. You say, can two walk together except they agree? Let's see what is this pointing toward through the precepts. Can two walk together except they agree? What two are you talking about in this case? We're going to precept that to Jeremiah 33, and we'll look at verse 24 down to verse 26.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Jeremiah. We're on chapter 33, and we're going to read verses 24 down to 26. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 24, reads, "Behold, the mountain, they are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of..."
Hold on there. Hold on there, young lion. Hold on there. Take your time and look at Jeremiah 33, 24 real carefully. Jeremiah 33, hold on to verse 26. Take your time there, young lion. We got plenty of time. You on the clock again. Jeremiah 33, 24 down to verse 26. What does it say?
Okay, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, we want verses 24 down to verse 26. Verse 24 reads, "Consider you not what this people have spoken, saying, two families which Yahweh have chosen, he has even cast them off. Thus, they have despised my people that they should be no more a nation before me." Verse 25. "Thus says Yahweh, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, 26, then will I cast away the seed of Israel and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them."
So he's talking about these two families. What he said again about these two families in verse 26 again there, young lion?
In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 26 reads, "Then will I cast away the seed of Israel and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. For I would cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them."
Well, you're saying what's supposed to be ruler over thy people, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, is supposed to be an Israelite. You say now, so now, for him to make that statement right there, it got to be a precept in that. Let's try to keep me find out what's going on with that verse. Read that verse one more time, that young line, but that's a big verse I just heard read. And that verse need a little clarity through the precepts. What did he say again in that verse again one more time?
Okay, going back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, picking up at verse number 26, 3. Then will I cast away the seed of Israel and David, my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them.
Mm-hmm. So, for that statement to be made in Jeremiah, this must have some oration, and we want to precept that verse by going to Deuteronomy chapter 17 there. You know, right? Now, that's very interesting. So, if anybody's supposed to be over the children of Israel, it must be from the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Now, that verse has been pulled from somewhere. So we're going to the 17th chapter of Deuteronomy. We're going to Deuteronomy 17. Let's see, can we analyze this verse? We're going to the 17th chapter, pick up verse 12 down to verse number 15. Deuteronomy chapter 17, 12 down to verse 15 there. Come on, young lion.
Book of Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 12 down to verse 15. Verse 12 reads, and the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and you shall put away the evil from Israel. Verse 13, and all the people shall hear and fear, and do no more presumptuously. Verse 14, when you are come unto the land which Yahuwah, your Yahuwah giveth you, and shall prosper, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Verse 15, you shall in any wise set him king over you, whom Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, shall choose, one from among your brothers, shall you set king over you. You may not set a stranger over you, which is not your brother.
So we're telling you the only king supposed to be over the descendants of, at this time, it was Abraham, Isaac. They have already been deceased. So this was telling Moses, and this is 500 years later, he said, Moses, look, Moses, the children of Israel are supposed to always have one over him that is of thy brother. So it's supposed to be passed on for you to have your records. The only one supposed to be over the children of Israel according to prophecy of the 17th chapter, it must be one of your brother. Two nations he's talking about is Southern Kingdom of Israel and Northern Kingdom of Israel. So both kingdoms supposed to have a brother over them. Let's go to Psalm chapter 147, 19 and 20. You're trying to spare us by a little time. Waiting on some more to come on stage there, online, but we really turn up a little bit. We just kind of laying a little foundation. So in 147:19-20, can you get the old say out there, you know what I'm saying? Psalm 147:19-20.
Okay. We're reading the book of Psalms, chapter 147, and we're going to read verse 19, and we want verse number 20. The book of Psalms, 147, verse 19, reads, "He showed his word unto Israel, his laws and his judgments unto Israel." Verse 20, "He have not dwelt so with any nation, and as for his judgment, they have not known it. Praise ye, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah."
He said you better praise Yahweh because the only one knows his judgment on what he going to do is the children of Israel. They the only one knows his judgment, the children of Israel. Other nations do not know his judgment. So in the book of 2 Ezra, there, you know what I mean? So what we finding out so far as we stall for a little time, that the only one know his judgment was the nation of Israel. And that's big talk with them. I wonder who else knows that. In 2 Ezra there, young line, we go on to 2 Ezra around about chapter. Let's see what we want. We want chapter 2.
Chapter 3, 32 down to 36.
Okay. All right, you can go and shoot that out. Call it out what you're working with.
Book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 3, verse 32, get down to verse 36. The book of Ezra, chapter 3,
sir.
Verse 32 reads, "Or is there any other people that know you besides Israel? Or what generation hath so believed your covenant as Israel?" Verse 33.
Hold that point there, young lion. Back up a little bit more because I need to make sure I don't want him to be talking to somebody out of midair. So back up a couple verses. I want to know who is the seer Ezra talking to with this conversation
okay.
We got going on. Very important to make sure that we know who he's talking to. So back up and let's get, well, we know he ain't just beating the air. So who is he talking to? Back up a little bit until we can get him to be talking to somebody and somebody listening to him there. Come on.
Okay. I could back up one verse. See if we can start from there. I can go to 2nd Ezra chapter 3, pick it up at verse number 31. 31 reads, "I do not remember how this way may be left. Are they then or
back up a little bit more because, but hold on, man. Let's back up because I want to kind of bring this in, some point in here that I want to bring. Think around about verse 17. I want to come in around about verse 17.
Okay.
What did it say?
Okay. All right. The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 3. We're going to pick it up at verse number 17. The book of 2nd Ezra.
No, make it 16. Well, make it 16 because it's very important to... Because I'm heading somewhere there, young line.
Yes, sir.
We got a good idea where we're going. But it's something I'm trying to ease on in on take five. So what I want to do, I want to pick it up around by verse number 15. And you take your time and read this because there's something in this, some good stuff from 15 all the way down. So we pick it around by verse 15. Come on.
Okay, the book of 2nd Ezra, and we're going to pick it up at around verse number 15. 2nd Ezra chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, "And made us an everlasting covenant with him, promising him that you would never forsake his feet." Verse 16, "And unto him you gave Isaac and unto Isaac also you giveth Israel and Esau. As for Israel, you did choose him to you and put by Esau. And so Israel became a great multitude.
Verse 17. Stop right there. Stop right there. So what it means by put by Esau, that means he rejected Esau.
Mm-hmm.
See, Esau is from the same loins as Jacob. And that's very important. Esau is from the same loins. And what it said here, Esau was rejected. That's what it means. Esau has been rejected. Now, we want to stop it there, young man, and we want to precept that. What do you mean by he was rejected? It's Esau's character. He was rejected. And so so Jacob has, whose name was changed to Israel in the 32nd chapter, have an everlasting covenant with the Almighty. And Esau, his brother, was rejected. Okay. All right. Good point. So we're going to find out, why was he rejected? Because we know the word is rejected. Because how we know that? We're going to precept the Bible in the book of Hebrews 12 and find out what word, if that word is, by precept in your mind. So that's why you got to look at it real carefully and see what that word really means by precepting. We go on to the 12th chapter there, young lion, and we're going to find out, do that word means rejected. We go on to the 12th chapter, pick your verse number 16, and we'll read down until we get the word that's supposed to be there, that we know it's supposed to be there, because we can precept our Bible. We're going to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll pick up verse 16.
Okay. We're going over to the book of Hebrews, book of the Israelites, chapter 12, verse number 16. I'm picking it up at 16 rules. Lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat stole his birthright. Verse 17. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Verse 18. For you are not...
Yeah, read all 17 again. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
Hold on, young lad. I'm trying my best to really lay some good stuff on in here. So with that, what we read over there in 2nd Ezra, so now we find out what word is supposed to go there, and now once we get this word properly, we want to go back to 2nd Ezra and put it in the word that best suits that in verse 17. Read verse 17 again.
The book of Hebrews, the book of the Israelites, chapter 12, verse number 17 reads, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
So he found no place of repentance. Repentance or what? So now we clear now. So now when we come back with that word, just make a little note of it on your paper. Because when you read this verse 16, if you put that proper word in there, it'll sound much better. Now come back and read verse 16 again there, young lion, with that verse 17 of the 12th chapter in your mind. Come on back and make those fear get happy in verse number 16. Come on.
Okay, we're going back over to the book of 2nd Ezra. We're going to read chapter 3. We're going to read verse number 16. The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, and unto him you gave it Isaac, and unto Isaac also you gave it Jacob, who name changed it to Israel, and Esau. As for Israel, you did choose him to you, and rejected by Esau. And so Israel became a great multitude.
Good. Sound real good. Now we find out that Esau was rejected. And Jacob, although Esau is the oldest brother, but he was rejected. And Esau became a great multitude. Matter of fact, now we're going to take a look at that young lion. Let's see, can we see what he's pulling up? All this great multitude, all this good, they pulling big, powerful words for Jacob to become a multitude. Matter of fact, in 24 verse 60, can you help me out? What kind of multitude are you talking about in Genesis? What kind of multitude did Jacob become that we can read in Genesis 24 verse number 60? What kind of multitude they became there, young lion?
The book of Genesis, chapter 24, we're going to pick it up at verse number 6. The book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse 6, reads. And Abraham
said,
hallelujah. In the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse 60. Verse 60 reads, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, you are our sister, you the mother of thousands of men, and let your seed possess the gate of those which hate them.
You see that? Ain't that something? So we find out right here, now Ezra, all he's doing is rehearsing the righteous act of the prophecy that was already on the table, that thy seed going to be a multitude, thousands of millions. So I need to tell Rebecca that your seed going to be thousands of millions. So, and that's why he made the statement in 13th chapter there. Young lion. So that's why this statement was made in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. So we're going to Genesis 13 there, young lion. And we got a pretty good story going right here. And it's in the 13th chapter of the book called Genesis there, young lion. We want to follow up on some of that good story right there. Let me see if I find me a book that got the 13th chapter in it. I wanna follow up on that a little bit. Because then we can start seeing this thing unfold with this information. Let's find out a little bit more. The prophecy in the 13th chapter, run by verse number 14 down to verse 16. Let's see what it says that we can read in Genesis 13, verse 14 to 16. Young lion, come on.
Okay, the book of Genesis, chapter 13, verse 14 down to 16. Verse 14 reads, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before Yahweh.
Well, hold on. Pick around verse 14. 14 down to verse 16. 14 and 16.
Okay.
Listen real good what he got written in 14 down to verse 16. Now, come on.
Okay. The book of Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, and Yahweh said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are northward and southward, and eastward, and westward. Verse 15. For all the land which you seek, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. Verse 16. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered.
He said, if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thy seed can be numbered. So having a man tried to do that with the help of somebody else. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 21. Let's see who now this when this statement was made. You know who was running the face of the earth. He was moving around in the face of the earth. He was moving around in the 14th chapter, verse 29-30 of St. John. Somebody was moving around when this statement was told to Abram. He said, now your seed going to be as the dust of the earth. But somebody else was moving around at that time and peaked that conversation. And Yahweh the Son reported that to his followers, the disciplined ones, about some things that was going on in Genesis. Let's see what he says that we can read in the 14th chapter, verse 29 and 30. Okay. A book called St. John.
Going to the book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 29 and verse 30. Verse 29 reads, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me.
So you see that? He said, I don't have much to say to you because the prince of this world coming, he ain't got how much in me?
I have nothing in me.
And he going to do the 29:16 of Isaiah. He said, now what this prince going to do is the 29:16 of the book of Isaiah. Let's see what the prince going to do. He said, the prince of this world, this is how he going to roll in 29:16 of Isaiah. Let's see how the prince going to roll that young line that we can read.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse number 16. Verse 16 reads, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the same frame say of him that framed it, he had no understanding?
Mm-hmm. So he's saying, what this prince of this world going to do, he's going to tilt things upside down. So that's his mission. He heard what he told Abram. And he knows that anytime he can throw a monkey wrench into the spokes of your bicycle and make you trip over, he's doing the covenant that was given to him. So in Ephesians chapter 2 there, young line, let's see what room did he allow him to operate in. So we clear that he was listening. He always listening. But we want to know what room did the Almighty give him to operate in. Let's see if we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Let's find out. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Almighty gave him a little room to wiggle in. And let's read a little bit what kind of room and space Yahweh allowed him to operate in. Ephesians 2, pick up verse 1.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, picking up at verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, Paul, an apostle of Yahweh the Son, by the will of Yahweh the Father, through the sanctity of the Lord.
Hold on that young line. Look at Ephesians real carefully, chapter 2, verse number 1. Ephesians. Take a look at it real carefully. Got plenty of time. Just trying to lay a little something down that wants to your 11 colleagues kind of get a wind of it. You'll be able to kind of
go in the other room and get them all together and go back over this, because it's very important on where we're going. And no accident or anything in Yahweh. So in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1.
The book of Ephesians chapter 2, picking up at verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, In you he hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4.
That's good. Had them big old ears working at you, you online. Read verse 1 again. Read Ephesians 2:1. Because this is a powerful conversation going on right here. So now in 2 verse 1 again, can you help me out there, young man?
Sir, the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse number 1 reads, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins.
He said, now you he have quickened who were dead in sin. Passing and sin. He said, you were dead. He said, you. Now, we're going to precept that in the book of Baruch. And let's find who this one was dead. He was dead, Micaiah. A young lion, he said, the you is a people, but the you don't mean the whole world. He talking about you Ephesians that was dead. So these Ephesians, he's talking about you was once upon a time dead in sin. Now, so we're going to precept that to the fourth chapter of Baruch. We'll make it third chapter. And we're going to find out what he's talking about 1, 2, and 3. Now, who is this was dead that he's talking about in the book of Ephesians? Now, Paul talking to the Ephesians over at Ephesus. He tell them, before I got here, you Ephesians at Ephesus, you was dead. Let's see who these Ephesians is that we can read by going to Baruch chapter 3, 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, the book of Baruch chapter 3. Verses 1, 2, 3, and, okay, you want to throw 4 in that too?
Yes, sir. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, thank you, right. Young man. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on.
Book of Baruch, chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Verse 1 reads, O Yahuwah, Almighty, Yahuwah of Israel, the soul and anguish, the troubled spirit cries unto you. Verse 2. Hear, O Yahuwah, and have mercy, for you are merciful, and have pity upon us, because we have sinned before you. Verse 3. For you endures forever, and we perish utterly. Verse 4. O Yahuwah Almighty, you Yahuwah of Israel, hear now the prayers of the dead Israelites and of their children which have sinned before you and not hearkened unto the voice of you, their Yahuwah. For the which cause these plagues cleave unto us.
Read verse 4 again.
The book of Baruch, chapter 3, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, O Yahuwah Almighty, you, Yahuwah of Israel, hear now the prayers of the dead Israelites
and of their children, which have sinned before you, and not hearken unto the voice of you, their Yahuwah. For the which cause these plagues cleave unto us.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why the plagues is on us, according to verse 4, what the reason that, young man? Why the plagues on the dead Israelites?
Because we have sinned before Yahuwah, and we have not hearkened to the voice of our Yahuwah.
Uh-huh. So when Paul is talking over here in 1:1 of Ephesians now, in Ephesians 1:1, when he over here, well, he over in Ephesus talking in 1:1, look what he says in 1:1.
Okay. Back to the book of Ephesians, we're going to read chapter 1 and pick it up at verse number 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1 reads, Paul, an apostle of Yahuwah the Son, by the will of Yahuwah the Father, through the saints, the Israelites, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Yahuwah the Son.
Now, So now, when you read the book of Ephesians with this understanding from the six anointed camps of voices of a true Israelite, now you seeing that Paul is over there in Ephesus talking to the saints, which is Israelites, of their dead state of mind. So when Paul read, when Paul addressed them, Ephesians, the Israelites, the saints over there at Ephesus, he called them dead Israelites for sinning against the Almighty One. So when we precept that to Baruch chapter 1 down to verse 4, we find out the dead is the dead in the mind called the Israelites. So with that understanding, you reading the book of Ephesians with that understanding, now you know that when you read this Ephesians book, they are dead, and the words he's talking about is not what we call the other nations. He's talking about the Israelites that are scattered in these nations called by the name of Ephesians at Ephesus, just like you call by the name that you got today instead of your biblical name. You see that? So now, so now we know in Ephesians chapter 2, you Israelites have been quickened who was dead and sin. So, and what will make you continue to stay dead, Israelites, down to verse number 11 and 12. We in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, with that understanding. So now remember, six anointed camps. When you read the book of Ephesians, you have to be able to precept your Bible to bring out who is he talking to in the book of Ephesians. He's talking to the saints that's at Ephesus. In 148 verse 14, they have a name. If you really want to go for the overkill, when you read the word saint, you can go to 148 verse 14. Brother Micaiah, and to be clear that you can't leave nothing undone. So in 148 verse 14, it tells you who the saints is, reading the mouth of David from the ministering spirit in 148 verse 14. What it says, we can read in 148 verse 14. Read the way you see it, because they're going to take care, he's going to take care of business and grand style. 148 verse 14 says what?
The book of Psalms, chapter 148, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, he also exalted the horn of his people, the praises of all his saints, even unto the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise you, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
So if the people of Israel is near unto him, then where is the all of the other nations? Far from you. You see that sea right here. So that means that a process must be done because the people of Israel is near unto him, meaning that all of the other peoples of the world is far from him. So somebody know that, and you know who want to know it? Was Satan. Satan knew that. He knew that. And what made the children of Israel far from him? We get ready to read in 2 verse 11 and 12. We go in Ephesians chapter 2. Now this is what makes the children of Israel fall in the same category as everybody else. Far from him, and this will make you far from Yahweh, right here in Ephesians 2, verse 11 and 12. What does it say?
The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11 reads, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Yahweh the Son, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world.
So now you see, when you read 2:1, and when you got all that, although you walking around, but really you are, when you're not keeping the covenant, and you outside of the six anointed camps, then now you understand when we get ready to read 2:1, and now all you do is just look in the mirror and see 2:1 is just wearing you out a cheap dress or a cheap suit. 2:1.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse number 1. Verse number 1 reads, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins.
You see that? So you is the Israelite that refused to keep the covenant. And when you don't keep the covenant, you become a playground for Satan the devil to manipulate you and turn it upside down. Because what makes you dead when you do not keep the covenant of Yahweh to understand his rules and regulations. And that's why we are people always react to whatever going on. We never have no pull act because we dead. We dead, Steve Ray. So that's why, so when you're dead, you hear a conversation like this, by not knowing who you are, that you are dead if you do not have a covenant of the Almighty Yahweh. You dead, see right here. You be dead.
And what did it happen in private to so many people for so many years? But what I'm telling everyone, no matter what background you are, no matter what socioeconomic class you are, walk with love right now. Walk. Do what God would want. What would Jesus do? Walk with love, spread happiness. I thought that I wasn't going to be like MLK and stand there. I felt very Malcolm X. But for some reason, God has called me to love and to ask for love for everyone. It's time for us just to love because love is the answer. It is the only way. Gandhi said, someone who was actually considered to be a racist, right? Gandhi said, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. Jesus, Father God, spread the love. Put the love in our hearts. And know that we are not each other's enemy, but we're all children of you. And you can bring this world to a peaceful place on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah. So that is a death scene right here. So now with that propaganda, then you have our leaders, I mean the leaders that were self proclaimed themselves, tell the people of the book, we gotta be about love. We got to love everybody because that's the way Jesus Christ wanted to be. Now, you see that? But when we're reading this Bible, see, right, that's why I say you have to make sure you understand one thing. The definition of love we're going to read in the Bible, saying we, the children of Israel, must be by love, okay? We're going to go find out, do the Bible support that? Remember we read in the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and 11, we read that you got to search the scriptures daily to see it so. So now you got leaders of 40 million that follows this guy. And this message to them, we got to be about love. But see, we'll go in the Bible and see what the Bible tells you about love. We got to be about love, but we're going to take a look at St. John there, you know, online. We're going to get the definition of the Bible's love. That's what we want to know. We want to get the Bible definition of love and see what do the keepers of the book, how the children of Israel want you to love. We're going to the 14th chapter, pick up verse 14. And let's see, let's start right there. We start at 14:14, and we'll read a little bit until we start hearing about some love. And 14:14, let's pick it up right there. Come on.
Okay, going to the book of St. John, chapter 14, verse number 14. 14 reads, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Mm-hmm. Now, look at the Bible definition of love. The Bible definition of love is, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, his name is not Jesus Christ. That's not his name. So if you ask anything in the name of Jesus Christ, you're not talking to the mighty one of the Bible, because that's not him. That's not his name. As a matter of fact, we're going to show you exactly when you use the name Jesus, spirit led through Yahuwah, who you're really calling on. Now, we're going to just read the way you see it there, young line, because it takes
yeah,
the Bible will really speak for itself. If we do mm-hmm. one thing, let it play itself out, it'll read for itself. So now we just heard from a billionaire telling all of his followers, over 30 million plus, that we got to be about love. And we got to call on the name of Jesus Christ. And now we're going to find out in the Bible, when we call on that name, Jesus Christ, what are we really doing? Just read the way you see it there, young line. We're going to the 13th chapter of Acts and pick up verse number 6.
Okay, the book
what's
of Acts.
Going on. When you call on the name of Jesus Christ, hold on, young lion. You ready to break out. Little Sid, get a couple of shots in there and get it all warmed up first. So when you sit around those that call on the name of Jesus Christ, let's find out what the Bible said, what you're doing to your followers. We're going to 13 chapter. And we're going to pick it up at verse number. But now we got to set the stage for this word first. To see if this word hold up first. Before we read verse 6, we got to set the stage first. So that's what we have to we got to always hit the stage because we know we got new listeners everywhere on the international side that listen to the voices of the true Israelite. So we got to now stop and sit this, bring this word in, because when we see this word, we clear what you really think. We go on to 2 Kings. Put a marker there, young line. We're coming back there. We trying to set it up a little bit. Because when we see this word, we should know what this word means when we see it. We're going to 2 Kings 16, and we'll pick up verse number 1. 2 Kings 16, verse 1. Let's see what that says. Let's read it where you see it, and verse 1.
Okay. We're going to Acts chapter 17, verse.
We're going to 2 Kings. We're going to 2 Kings, chapter 16, verse 1. We're going to 2 Kings, 16, verse number 1.
Okay. Book of 2 Kings. We're going to chapter 16. We're going to pick it up at verse number 1. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 16, verse number 1 reads, "Then the word of Yahuwah came." Oh, I'm going to go on. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 16, verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, "In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the king of Judah, began to reign."
Mm-hmm. So there you go right there. The king of Judah began to reign in the 17th year of Pekah. Now let's watch this word unfold itself right in verse 6. Now watch this word. Watch what this word Judah becomes in verse number 6. Right before your eyes, hear a word that have a father named Jacob, whose name was changed of Israel, the fourth son of Israel. Now, right before your eyes, this name is going to change. Let's see what happened in verse 6. Let's see what happened to Judah in verse 6.
Okay. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 16, verse number 6, reads, verse 6, "At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drove the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there until this day."
You see that? So that is the origin of the word Jew, polluted, corrupt, replacing Judah. That's what that says right here. So now when you see this word Jew, it is a corrupt, polluted word for Judah. And the origin of this word comes from 2 Kings. Nowhere on the left side of the book, all the way from Genesis 1:1, do this name come in until right here in 2 Kings 16:6. The Jew, Judah. Right here is the origin of the replacement of the word Jew from Judah. But he made it plain to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. See, some was told to the children of Israel in 4, verse 1 and 2. Some was said that we can read there, young man. What was said to the children of Israel and 4, verse 1 and 2?
Okay, we're going to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 1 reads, "Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the law and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which Yahuwah of your fathers giveth you." Verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish out from it, that you may keep the laws of Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, which I command you.
Mm-hmm. So it was given to the children of Israel to not add to the word. So you know Judah will bounce his way back to his father Israel, and Israel can bounce himself back to his father Isaac, and Isaac can bounce his way back to Abraham, and Abraham can bounce his way all the way up to Shem. So when you put the word Jew in place of Judah, then you stuck. Then once you put the word Jew there, then that gives somebody else an opportunity to bring in the word called Jewish. Jewish. J-E-W-I-S-H. And say, we are like, and the word ish means like the Jew. But here's the point. You definitely is like the Jew, but you do not tell the Jewish, never tell you that you like the Jew, but the Jew is a corrupt word for Judah. That's the part is left out. Jewish, the I-S-H prefix, like the Jew, but the Jew is a corrupt word for Judah. It's polluted. And anytime a word is polluted, the children of Israel are supposed to automatically understand what's written in Ezra 2:62. The children of the book are supposed to look at that conversation and understand what he told the seer to write in writing in 2:62 of the book called Ezra. What it say when a word is corrupt? What word do they depict corrupt word in Ezra 2:62? Come on there, young lion.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Ezra, chapter 2, verse 62. 62 reads, these sought their register among those that were reckoned beyond genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood.
I mean, put from your mind. Now, you know why you put it from your mind? Anytime you associate with the people of the book with the word Jew, knowing the word is corrupt word. And if you buy into that word and depict yourself as that, that makes you corrupt. That makes you corrupt, and anybody follow you, you're going to make them corrupt. The Jew, the Jewish, only reflects back to the Jew. And we find out the Jew is corrupt for Judah. It is polluted or be put from your brain. Why so? In Numbers 15:15-16, tell us why. Why so? In Numbers 15:15-16, why so? See what it says, we can read in Numbers chapter 15, verse 15 and 16 there, young man.
The book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 15, 15, and verse 16. The book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 15 reads, one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generation. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahuwah. Verse 16. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be one way, children of Israel. It's going to be the way, the Bible's way. So the Bible way tells you, the children of Israel, that the children of Israel was, the children, the people you're talking about was reckoned through genealogy. Now, he said, now, you must be reckoned through genealogy, whoever these people is. So now when you precept your Bible, you'll see who this message was told to that must be reckoned through genealogy, but one way to go. And if you don't do it, it is a curse over your head if you follow another nation on what they say. So we just found out the word Jew, it is corrupt and it's polluted for Judah. So if anybody say that we are the Jew, supposed to have your scriptures to show soundly. No. Jew, would you bring in a word called Jewish? Because the Jewish people say they like the Jew. You are like the Jew. Two corrupt words. You are like the Jew. Because Jew is a corrupt word for Judah, the fourth son of Israel. See, we have to know this information. Now, so we're going with, we read in Ezra 2:62 that the day was reckoned. Day was reckoned in genealogy. Well, who was the day? Because the day can be anybody. So you have to go right back into your body and precept the Bible and see who is the day that is reckoned through genealogy that you can read. We're going to 1 Chronicles 9:1. Now, who is the day that when you reckon, they only reckon through genealogy? Let's see who the day is that Ezra was talking about. And if you not reckon through genealogy, you put from your brain and the priesthood, you have no affiliation with the children of Israel and the day. So let's find out who the day is that have to follow these rules. We're going to 1 Chronicles 9:1. And then we'll find out some more things in Galatians 6. Let's see what it says in 1 Chronicles 9:1. Who's the day that Ezra was referring to in 9:1?
The book of 1 Chronicles 9:1 reads, so all Israel were reckoned by genealogy. And behold, they were
All Israel is reckoned through one way only, through genealogy. So there it goes right there, Caesar. When you're talking about something back from Jewish, like the Jew, and they love to use this prefix. Well, the Jewish is like the Jew, and we are the true Jews. No, you're not. You polluted just like they are polluted. See, you're not the one because that's not the foundational. The word is a corrupt word for Judah. Yada in Semitic. Now, listen. Leaders use this word, especially you Israelite camp, the Jews. We are the true Jews. That makes you just as much corrupt as them. And that's why Hebrews 5:12-14 kicks in and points directly to you. Let's even say it in Hebrews 5:12-14.
The book of Hebrews 5, picking up at 12-14. The book of Hebrews, book of the Israelites, 5:12 reads, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yahweh, and are become such as have need of milk, and not the strong meat. Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
So, those that use milk, they need to be taught again of righteousness. See, we got to be taught again about good righteousness again, and we found out good you want your people to do good, but doing good is keeping the law. The law means the Torah instruction, first five books. That would make you good. Good is not calling on Jesus. See, good is not calling on Jesus. I ain't forgot about Acts. Coming back there again, because when you call on Jesus, we're going to show you the Bible definition after we see up the word called Jew. So now you're clear about the word Jew. When you read the word Jew in the Bible from this point on with your record, it means Judah. So you look at the word Jew in your Bible and put Judah there and keep it moving. And when they stop you and say, hey, that says Jew, then you got the scriptures to back up. No, but it means Judah. Because if I said Jew, then you can bring in Jewish, and they use what you call, give me a word they use. They use propaganda and say, we are Jewish, we like the Jew. Okay, you can be like the Jew, but the Jew and Jewish tied to the hip, both is corrupt. And we're going to find out who today would use that kind of propaganda. Maybe not in this lesson, but it will be in the lesson to come. Because we have to show, when you hear those who say, we are Jews just like you, we know you need to be taught over again because you obey. Because the Jew and Jewish tied together. It have no affiliation with the children of Israel. No more being corrupt. Got it? Good. Now, by knowing that, let's get a little bit more when you see this word Jew, exactly what it means. Then when we get back to Acts 13, we should be cooking in fine grease. Let's run back to Jeremiah 32. And just read it where you see it, because he's going to take care of his own business. Okay, young man. He's going to take care of his own business in Jeremiah 32, verse 30, 32, and 44. We're going to Jeremiah 32, verse 30, 32, and 44. Listen real good, and I'll be in the 40th chapter of the same book waiting on you. After you just lay it out in grand style, in Jeremiah 32, verse 30, 32, and 44, and I'll be in the 40th chapter waiting on you. Come on.
Okay. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 30, 32, and 44. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 30 reads, for the children of Israel and the children of Yahdajus have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, says Yahuwah. Verse 32. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Yahdajus, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their king, their princes, their priests, and their elders, and the men of Yahdajus, and the inhabitants of Yahdajus. Verse 44. Man shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidence and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, in the places about Yahdajus, and in the cities of Yahdajus, and in the cities of the mountains, and in the cities of the valley, and in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, says Yahuwah.
So you see, you find out that in verse number 30-32, it talks about children of Israel and the children of Judah. See? And we talk about, you didn't think about a Jew? No, because there's no Jew there. Jew is corrupt word, and it's polluted. And then we step down to verse 32, and we're looking at the word again, because of the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah. See that? Again, where the Jew at? Not a Jew. See, it's not a Jew until after closing of 96 AD. They never knew about that word. We don't get the origin of the word Jew. Maybe in this lesson, we'll get the first. We know the first time in the word was used, but the origin of the word Jew, we'll find out that a little bit later. So then we went to verse 44 and was reading about, he's still mad at these people. He's mad at in the land of Benjamin, land of the city, and now the cities of Judah. What happened to the Jew? He said, now the cities of Judah going to go into captivity. Yeah? What a Jew at? It's not a Jew thing right here. Jew brings in Jewish, and both words is corrupt Israel, because children of Israel is only reckoned through genealogy, and they only reckoned through Numbers 1:16-18. And they only reckon through genealogy, but what kind of way? We're going to Numbers chapter 1:16-18. And they only, six anointed camps, 12 leaders out of every camp. Listen good, the ones that's of the 12 and of leadership. The children of Israel was never called Jew, never called Jewish until the other side of the closing of 96 AD, other side of it. They was reckoned through genealogy. But what genealogy was they reckoned through that we can read? We're going to one, book of Numbers 1:16-18. This is how they was reckoned through genealogy. 1:16-18. This is good.
Okay. The book of Numbers. Chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. Book of Numbers, chapter 16. The book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 16. 16 reads. These were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. Verse 17. And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their name. Verse 18. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigree after their families, by the families, by the house of their fathers, by the family of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their posts.
So they reckoned to the genealogy of their fathers. So how you reckon the children of Israel through genealogy of their fathers? That's how you reckon through genealogy of their fathers. If you reckon the word Jew through their fathers, you got no name. If you reckon the name Jewish, you got no father. The children of Israel was reckoned through their father. Judah can replace back to a father, called Israel. The word Jew cannot replace back to a father. You cannot find a father in Jew. You cannot find a father in Jewish. The children of Israel, the Israelites, was reckoned through genealogy. That was mean by pedigree, genealogy, bloodline. That's how you reckon the children of Israel. If anybody teach about the children of Israel, you have to teach through pedigree, which means genealogy through your father. Jewish have no father. Jew have no father. So if that's the case, then we have to investigate what is the meaning of these words replacing the children of Israel, but in the same token pointed toward the children of Israel, but not of the children of Israel. Who will And who did turn this thing upside down? What happened? Now we'll go back to a statement that was read in Genesis when we read, no man can count these people. But then we find out that Satan came in, and Satan said, what I want to do, what did Satan say he want to do? He never said what he want to do. We never read what Satan said he want to do. So let's go find out what Satan say he want to do. But the Almighty said he have nothing in me. We're going to find out what did Satan say he want to do. And we start putting this thing together. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Let's find out something that he said that Satan wants to do. We're going to Matthew chapter 4 and pick up at verse 4. Let's find out something that Satan said he want to do. And the Almighty told his disciplined one called the followers exactly what happened to him that can happen to you. So we're going to Matthew chapter 4. Let's see what's going on that the Almighty Son is at his lowest point. And here comes somebody at his lowest point to work him over. Matter of fact, let's read that he was at his lowest point. Let's pick up at verse number 2. Let's find out what kind of condition he was in. He was at his lowest point. Let's see what was going on. Pick up verse 1. Let's make it plain. Oh, 1 down to verse 4. Let me expound on it first. We're going to Matthew 4, 1 down to verse 4. What it say?
Okay. Book of Matthew chapter 4, picking up at 1 down to 4. Book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, read. Then was Yahweh the Son led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Verse 2. When he was fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward at home. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of Yahweh the Father, command that these stones be made bread. Verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So now Satan watched him and waited till he was at his lowest point. And that's when Satan loves to show up when you at your lowest point, when you got room for compromising or whatever your kryptonite is. Your kryptonite might be when somebody drop a bag full of money down by your feet and you want to know where that came from. And you say, yeah, you know it just been bought out the air. It's a string on that money. You want this suitcase of money? You want this bag of money? It's a strain to it. See?
Hallelujah.
If you want to be on this strain, you can welcome this money. We catch you at your lowest point where you want to be in the world, and we'll tempt you with whatever you love the most. And somebody drop a suitcase by you, most likely you're going to grab it. See? Right. So he was at his lowest point. Now, since he's at his lowest point now, the devil want to talk with him now. He said, now, let me talk to you there. We see you at your lowest point, but he told him, man, live by every word that the Father has said. That's pointing back to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. So the devil ain't through with him yet. Let's see what the devil said to him in verse 5.
Okay, the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse number 5. Verse 5 reads, and the devil taketh him up into the righteous city and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple.
And that's where the devil loves to come at. He loves to come. Now, he ain't coming if you over in Joe Miles Lounge somewhere. If you already doing everything contrary to Yahweh, he got you already, so he ain't bothering you at all. Nope, he ain't coming. Why should he come there? He got you already. If you don't keep the Sabbath day, you didn't run no fringes, you ain't dust heads in Yahweh, why
why can't do no more to you but help push you down the road, but you don't know it. So he come with the ones that at the Sabbath day classes, wearing their fringes, keeping the feast days. That's the ones he wants to peep at. He don't worry about the ones that's contrary to that. They're keeping Sunday and hollering Lord God and Jesus, Allah, Buddha. He don't worry about you. He got you already. So he ain't worried about you. So now, he wants to work him over and take him to the temple. Work him over there. Okay, good. Let's see what the devil says to him in verse number 8.
Okay. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, we're picking up at verse number 8. Verse 8 reads, again, the devil taking him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the honor of them.
So the devil taking him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Just like when they catch you where you can put some in their pocket, so where you can put, I can make you the richest black man to ever live and have you boast about it. I can do this for you. I can do it for you. I can make you the richest black man to ever live because we know you're not going to read Solomon was the richest man to ever live, but I can make you, as the president, the richest black man that ever lived. Then you won't know, what do I got to do to be the richest black man that ever lived? What I got to do? He'll tell you in his writing what you got to do if you want to be the richest black man that ever lived. First thing you got to do, you got to call your mighty one, Lord God, Jesus, Allah, and Buddha. That's one. And you got to not keep the Sabbath day, Friday night, Saturday night. Don't wear no fringes. Just wear your skinny jeans and, you know, and put on your best and call on the Lord. Got it? Good. You think you can do that? Oh, yeah, I can do that. For that suitcase you got right there, yeah, I can do that. He said, well, there's a little bit more to that. He said, I want you to do something else. In verse number 9, what else I want you to do in verse 9?
Book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse number 9. Verse 9 reads, and saith unto him, all these things will I give you, if you will fall down and worship me.
Oh, there you go right there. Now you got to fall down and worship me. Because now you got to fall down and worship me. Now, can you do that? Can you fall down and worship me? Because I'm contrary to everything in the Bible. I'm Satan. I'm going to turn everything upside down. Now, if you fall and worship me, then you do what I tell you to do. Because now, you remember, it was a statement made we read in the 13th chapter. He said, nobody can count the number of the children of Israel. Right? Now, let's go see. And Satan know that. Now let's go to the 21st chapter of Chronicles now. Let's go to the 21st chapter of Chronicles and see. Now Satan know that it was told to Abram, can't no man count the children of your descendants. Satan heard that. So now he's looking at this king of Israel in 1 Chronicles 21. Let's see what did he put in his mind in 1 Chronicles 21. 1 and 2. What do you say there, young man? 1 Chronicles 21, 1 and 2.
The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 reads, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it.
Well, but what did the Almighty say in the 13th chapter. You see what she was? Satan got into him, David, the king of Israel, and said, hey, big Joy up the big general, go over there and number the children of Israel. But we found out Satan got him. So that's why you got to recognize when Satan in a person and how you recognize when Satan in a person through the page of the book. Let's see, do they do what the Bible say or they doing what Satan say? Okay? Because the Almighty says in Judges chapter 2, 1, 2, what did the Almighty say in Judges 2, 1, 2? Let's see what he says.
Going over to the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse number 2. Book of Judges. Chapter 2, verse number 2. Verse 2 reads, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this?
So you see, the angel from heaven told Joshua to tell the children of Israel, don't make no league with the inhabitants of the land. Whatever they own, throw it down in your mind. Not, don't go kick nobody nothing over. In your mind, you make no leagues with them. Because, see, in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, when you make leagues with the inhabitants of the land, you're going to run into something. And because you own milk, you're going to run into something. And see what you're going to run into in Ephesians chapter 6. Something you're going to run into when you make leagues with the inhabitants of the land. Let's see what you run into in the sixth chapter. And we pick up verse number 10. We're going, now remember that Ephesians is the Israelites that scattered out through Ephesus. We don't broke that down, remember. If you want more details, those are coming in late. You got to reboot this tape and come back on about 9:15. Then you go back and catch the beginning of the foundation. Because you come in an hour and a half, or 2 hours late, you're going to miss your foundation, and you'll be all over the place trying to figure out what's going on. So you can take and rebroadcast and set back at 9:15 on your computer. Now we're going to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, so we know he's talking to the Israelites that's at Ephesus. Let me tell them in 6 verse 10. Let's
you want the book? Yes, sir. You want the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse number 10. Picking up at verse 10, read. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yahuwah and in the power of his might. Verse 11.
Hold that point.
Put on the hope.
Hold it. One verse at a time. One verse at a time. Got plenty of time, that young lion, because we just geared up for take number 6. We just geared up for take 6. So he said, look, he's finally my brother. Who the brother he talking to? The Ephesians. That's the Ephesus. The Israelites. They're scattered over there. So now when we read James 1:1, this is what's going on. So Paul is over there too. So when we read 1 Peter 1:1, can you help me out there, young man?
We're going over to James chapter 1:1 and 1 Peter 1:1. Going over to the book of James. You know that. Chapter 1, verse 1 reads, James, a servant of Yahuwah, the Father, and of Yahuwah the Son, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, Peter, an apostle of Yahuwah the Son, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia.
So you see what he, so what Paul over there, they was writing letters, and Paul, you know, he had a big assignment, so he went over to where they was at. So now we find out this word Jew is a corrupt word, and Jewish come in like the Jew, both of them corrupt and polluted. So we clear about it now. So now by coming in late to the broadcast, when we use the word Judah instead of it, and you see the word Jew, and then you get all frantically behind it, because one thing about it, if you miss a second, you're going to miss a lot. So now we go on to the 14th chapter, and we're going to see exactly what's going on in the 14th chapter of Acts. Find out about this word Jew, knowing that the word is corrupt and polluted for Judah. So when we ignore the word Jew and put the word Jew in there, don't get excited, because we have the foundation of the word being corrupt, and the children of Israel cannot deal with corrupt words when we know the truth. So the 14th chapter, verse 19 says what? Of Acts.
The book of Acts, chapter 14. I need that verse again. I didn't hear that one too clear.
Acts chapter 14, verse number 19.
Okay, 19. Okay, the book of Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Verse 19 reads, "And there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead."
Mm-hmm. And now we just said, young line, we clear, we laid the foundation when we see his word, to ignore it and just put Judah in there and keep moving by laying the foundation. Now, this was your opportunity to lay the word in and let those that came in late be all in an uproar because they don't have the foundation. But you got it. So you clear when you see his word Jew what it means. So put the proper word in there for Jew by having the foundation already. Because we done made it already now. Because we're getting back to that Acts 13 in a minute about that same word. So we're going to be fumbling around with it when we get there. So let's get a little rehearsal in verse 19.
Book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 19. Verse 19 reads, "And there came there certain Yada Judah from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead."
Right. So you see, Judah is already scattered in every nation upon the sun, along with the other Israelites too. So Judah over there. But see, Judah always gets something going on. So Judah way over there, he got something going on. And Judah, the same one that you look at the day, and you might look right and see Judy and T.D. Jakes or Klepto Dollar. That's Judah in them. But evidently, they don't cut them a suitcase, right? Right. Now, now let's go to the 16th chapter, verse 20, with that understanding. 16, verse 20 of Acts.
Book of Acts, chapter 16, verse number 20. The book of Acts, chapter 16, verse number 20 reads, "And brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men being Yada Judah do exceedingly trouble our city."
You see that? So then now you have your own countrymen to bring you forward the big dignitaries. And say, you know, and they always going to put the fang on you. So our people's going to be our worst enemy. That's why you got to recognize your worst enemy from the page of the book. All you do is watch the Bible. You just about tell what they're going to do for you if you know how to watch the Bible the proper way. So now, Paul had more problem with the people that looked like him and was of his nation, of Israel, than the one that was stranger. Because of, you know, taking hold to that suitcase. And they became spies for the other nation. Now we're going to the 17th chapter. With that understanding, what's going on, we're going to the 17th chapter. And look at verse number 1 and 10. Listen real good at 1 and 10.
The back of the act. Chapter 17, verse 1, verse 10. Verse 1 reads, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a temple of Yadah Judah. Verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the temple of Yadah Judah.
So you see that? Now you see that? You see, we always going to be in scattered, whatever. We still going to always be doing our thing. We always got to take our spirit. But sometimes we can be, you got to recognize it can look just like you, but it can be wicked. Wicked as H. You got to recognize from the page of the book. So now we're in the 18th chapter. And we're looking now at verse number 19. Look what he tells them ones that he was trying to get them on the right track. See, look what he says to them, although he went to them, Judah, that was over there in Ephesus. Now all of a sudden, he started noticing there was something going on that he had to do something. In the 18th chapter, verse number 19 and 21. Look what he said. Look what Paul says to Judah. You know Judah, fourth son of Israel, that was scattered along with the other Israelites. Let's see what he said to them in their temple site. Verse 19 and 21.
The book of Acts, chapter
19 and 21. Uh-huh.
The book of Acts. 18,
verse 19 and 21.
The book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 19 and verse 21. Verse 19 reads, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the temple and reasoned with Yadah Judah. Verse 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Yadah Judah. But I will return again unto you, if Yahweh will. And he sailed from
From Ephesus. So he left from he left the Ephesians that was in Ephesus. So he left them. But there was Judah that was there. But he said, listen, Judah, although I know you from Benjamin, you from Judah. And the other scatter is right as well, but I gotta keep the feast day. I know I'm gonna keep the feast day. So I'm gonna cut y'all short. And because y'all keep, I'm trying to get you back to keep the feast day. I'm gonna cut y'all short. So I'm going back and keep the feast day. Now once the feast day is over with, then if the Almighty will, I'll return back to you and teach you some more. Know what he's saying? So now they're going to the 19th chapter. And we're going to look right down at verse 17. Now watch this. 19:17.
Going to the book of Acts, chapter 19. We'll pick it up at verse number 17. Verse 17 reads, this was known to all Yadah Judah and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all in the name of Yahweh, the Son, was magnified.
See, his name was magnified. But see, you see, we're here. So we cleared up the word Jew means Judah. But this word Greek is talking about the Israelites that were scattered in the same land. See, this is talking about the northern kingdom. Right here. This Greek here. We ain't gonna take care of that. We gonna take care of that to another lesson. We just focus in on this Jew, which is a corrupt word for Judah. And we not the Jew at any time because it's a corrupt word. Because if you bite on being the Jew, then you gonna bite on being Jewish also.
Hallelujah.
So, you, so take one bite of the Jew, you're going to take another bite of being Jewish also. Because then also you, now you got way away from being reckoned through genealogy by being Israel, the Israelite. See, when you bite on one word, that's how it happens. So now we see, now you're clear that when Paul was over there, he was looking for Judah, southern kingdom that was scattered there in Ephesus, and the Greeks, which is northern kingdom that was scattered in Ephesus. He was trying to tie them in and tell them, listen, you got to magnify the four letters. YHWH when you magnify the four letters, YHWH. It ain't no magnifying in the name of Jesus. Because now with that understanding, we can tell you now we can go back and show you what this word Jesus means. By laying it out, by understanding now, Paul was telling Judah, southern kingdom, and northern kingdom, Israel, you got to magnify the name of YHWH. You got to magnify that name. Now, so now we're clear about the word Jew. Now let's find what the word Jesus means once you read your Bible. And remember we listened to Answer Machine when the big dignitary said we need to do good in Jesus' name. Now we're going to find out what do Jesus' name mean according to the Bible by first correcting what the word Jew means is a corrupt word and polluted for Judah. With that understanding, now we've done all that to go back to Acts 13. Now, young man, make those sales get proud of you when we go back to Acts 13 with that understanding. Now we can go read Acts 13 and find out what the word Jesus really means according to the Bible. Without those seals saying any word, you can hear it for yourself what the word Jesus really means with the Bible open. If I go on to the 13th chapter of Acts, we're going to see what the word Jesus really means in Acts 13. We're going to Acts 13, and we're going to read down and find out what the word, particularly verse number 6. Let's read the way you see it. Read the way where you see it. Acts 13, verse 6. What does it say there, young lion? 13, verse 6. What does it say?
The book of Acts, chapter 13. Picking it up at verse number 6. Verse 6 reads, and when they had gone through the isles unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false seer, a Yada Judah, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Verse 7.
But wait a minute. But wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on there, young lion. They found a false who?
Wait, false seer.
Now we gotta stop that. Now we gotta stop that and take care of all that. Now we gotta stop and bag all the way up. Because you don't got excited now in front of over 700,000 people. You don't got 700 million folks. You don't got all excited and just threw me off of it now. So now I got to go back and clean that up in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. I got to go clean that up there, young lion. So now I got to stop off and get back to that. Now going to the 34th chapter. And let's see what's going on here. Take it to verse number 1. 34 verse 1. Let's read where we see it.
Ezekiel 34 verse 1.
Yeah. So I got to stop and clean it up there, young line. Let's read a little bit down to 1 through 7. Get warmed up. Then when we get to Jeremiah and get a second lick, then when we get back over there again, we'll be all right. 34 verse 1.
Okay, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 1. 34 verse 1 reads, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 2, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus says Yahweh unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed his flock? Verse 3. You eat the fat. You eat the fat and you cloth you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Verse 4. The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you bought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Verse 6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yet my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Verse 8. As I live, says Yahweh.
Good. So we need another precept with that. So what he's talking about is the shepherds, the pastors, the deacons, the one that rules these people, these self-claimed leaders. He's talking to Ezekiel the seer, telling Ezekiel the seer, listen, Ezekiel, is you the seer of the hour? Yeah. Well, you get over there and tell them leaders over there, them pastors, them shepherds, them deacons, them bishops, that I'm against you on what you're doing. Let's get a second witness by going to Jeremiah 25. So when we get back to Acts 13, we'll be all right. Because it's over 700 million on the other side listening. And we can't leave no room for error. Let's go to the 25th chapter and look at verse 34 down to verse 38. Let's see what Jeremiah said. Another one of the seers, what he said. But this is talking to Jeremiah. Let's see what Jeremiah, he a seer. So now, he was told something. Let's see what he's told in 25, 34, 38.
You said we're reading down from 25, 34 down to 38?
Yes, sir. Pick it up at verse 20, or chapter 25. Pick it up at verse 34 down to verse 38 in Jeremiah.
Okay. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 34 down to verse 38. Verse 34 reads, howl, you shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, you principal of the flock. For the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and you shall fall like a pleasant vessel. 35. And the shepherd shall have no way to flee, for the principal of the flock to escape, nor the principal of the flock to escape. Verse 36. A voice of the cry of the shepherd and a howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for Yahweh has spoiled their pasture. Verse 37. And the peaceable inhabitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of Yahuwah. 38. He hath forsaken his covenant as the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger.
No, he ain't forsaken his covenant. He forsaken his covenant. That means he going to leave where he at and come down. Now his covenant going to stand forever. He ain't left his covenant in no time. He coming down from where he was at. He forsake his covert. That means his, where his dwelling place at. He said, now it's time for me to leave, and now I got to whoop. Now my timeline is time for the whooping. So he got a timeline to whoop. the shepherds, the pastors, the deacons, the leaders, the self-claimed leaders. You got a timeline written that I'm going to whoop them. So that's what he told the seer Jeremiah to tell him, I got a timeline to whoop you. Told Ezekiel the seer, I got a timeline to whoop them. See, in every generation of seer supposed to tell you, your time going to run out if you deceive the peoples and call him by another name. You're not keeping the Sabbath day. You're not keeping wan fringes. You're not doing the dust says the four-letter man. Your time is going to run out. That's what he told the seer to get the message back to the children of Israel. Now, we're going back with all that we're laying. Now we're going back again to Acts after we laid the foundation back to 13. And now we're going to pick up and just start all over again at verse number 6. Let's see what he says in verse 6 again. Acts 13, verse 6.
Book of Acts, chapter 13, verse number 6. Verse 6 reads, and when they had gone through the isles unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false shepherd, a Yada Judah, whose name was Bar-Jesus.
So his name was Bar-Jesus. That's his name. And he's a son of Jesus. He got big ministry. He got a big old Israelite camp. They love to say the father's name is Jesus and the son's name is Jesus. So there he is right there. So that's the name, Jesus. He was the son of Jesus. And they are saying the son came in the father's name. And what the father's name is Jesus and the son's name Jehovah. That's how they talk. They have a great big old Israelite camp do that kind of talking. That's how they talk. They use Jehovah and Jesus. For the son and the father. They'll do the same thing. I mean, how many times you hear about, but you would do the same thing because maybe that suitcase is still available for you as long as you continue to say that his name is Jesus and his son's name is Jehovah or Jehovah and Jesus. I forgot how you have it, but between Jehovah and Jesus, you push it and you still pushing them two names. And it wasn't no jail until the middle of the 1700s. Now, so there you go here. The son of Jesus, right here. Now what was going on with this? Now what did the son of Jesus have on his mind to do in verse number 7? Let's see what the son of Jesus was doing in verse 7. Acts 13, verse 7. What was the son of Jesus doing in verse 7?
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of Yahuwah.
Hold that point. So you see, so now this son of Jesus, Jehovah, he's seen that the big dignitaries of the land, they were going to hear from Barnabas and Saul. He desired to hear the word of Almighty. He wanted to hear the word of Almighty. He was going to hear. He said, you know, Barnabas and Saul, they're in my country. He said, tell them, come on by. And I want to hear the word of the Almighty. Oh, little man. I want to hear about that man. With that. Next verse. What happened next? The next verse.
Book of Acts, chapter 13, verse number 8. Verse 8 reads. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith.
Go ahead, boy. Right down. Now you see what Bob Jesus want to do? Bob Jesus heard Paul and Barnabas. They was invited into the big dignitaries' castle, or maybe they congregation, whatever they had at He said, we love to hear the word, but this bar Jesus, the son of Jesus, withstood him. No, he wanted to turn Paul away from hearing, and that was going on right now. They were trying to turn you away from hearing the six anointed camps of Barzillai and Jewish life, because they have a tendency to break this thing down. And remember, this is Tape 5 of unlocking the biblical mysteries of the deep, dark sands of the Bible. So you always got somebody wanting to convert you to, go, to take you another direction. No, you ain't got to keep the Sabbath day. You can keep Sunday. No, you ain't got to call them by the four letters. You can call them by Lord God and Jesus. Huh? No, you ain't got to wear no fringes. You can continue wearing your skinny jeans. Huh? But then we can read that he's going to punish you at Zephaniah for that strange apparel. But I'm never seeing. But we're going to take care of that in that lesson next. So now, so David was going to hear some good word. Now, then Paul, they got Paul's attention. And this is when his name was given to him. They slide in from one name to the next name in verse 9. But that ain't what we're teaching on right now neither. We just read the way we see it. And we look at verse 9. 13 verse 9 says what?
The book of Acts chapter 13 verse 9. Verse 9 reads, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the righteous spirit, set his eyes on him.
Oh, so now Paul, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Properly, the righteous spirit. So Paul was full of it. Now he turned his eyes on who? Who did he turn his eye on in verse 6? Let's see who he turned his eye on in verse 6.
In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and when they had gone through the isles unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false shepherd, a Yada Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus.
Oh, and his name was the son of Jesus. That's who his name was, the son of Jesus. Bar means son. So Paul turned and looked at the son of Jesus, because the son of Jesus trying to keep these big dignitaries the true faith of the covenant of the one in half, the father and son. So Paul, he got Paul's attention. What was his name? The son of Jesus. Now Paul said, you got my attention, son of Jesus. Let's see what Paul called the son of Jesus in verse 10.
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, and said, O fool of all stupidity and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all...
What?
You child of the devil.
What did he call by Jesus?
You child of the devil.
That's something. You what he called him? So you see what the word Jesus really means? Jesus means the son of the devil. Because the word he used was, the precept word was subtlety. He and said, you fuller of all subtlety. Now, precept that back. And let's get a precept on it, third chapter of Genesis. Now, remember the word. We're going to Genesis chapter 3. Come right back. Remember the word right there. 3:1.
Okay. Going over to the book of Genesis. Chapter 3. We're going to pick it up at verse number 1. Book of Genesis. Chapter 3. Verse number 1 reads, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And he said unto the woman.
Now, hold on a minute. He was more what?
More subtle.
Spell a word.
S-U-B-T-I-L.
Same word. The same word. Satan and devil. Same word. Now come on back here at 13 verse 10 and see if he's the same word. He's talking to the serpent, which is Satan the devil. He was most same word. Satan the devil. Satan the devil that met Eve. Here comes Satan the devil right here up under his other name, contrary to the Bible name of we get ready to read shortly. 13 verse 10.
The book of Acts.
Same word. 13:10.
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, it said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil.
Wait a minute. Who he calling the child of the devil in verse 7? Who is he calling the child of the devil? Who is he calling the son of the devil? Who he talking to in verse number 6?
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and when they had gone through the isles unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false shepherd, Yada Judah, whose name was Bar-Jesus.
Ain't that funny? You see that? He was in the name of Son of Jesus. He was a child of Jesus. And a child of Jesus is a child of Satan the devil. Precept back in 3:1. So when they use that name, that's the name that Satan put in the place to replace what name? Let's go back to, let's see what he told the children of Israel what not to do. Let's run back to the 23rd chapter, verse 13 of Exodus. Let's see what he told the children of Israel what not to do. Same thing he told Abraham, can nobody count the peoples? Then Satan said, yeah, David, go count the people. His man's always contrary to what the Almighty says. Let's see what the Almighty says in the 23rd chapter, verse 13 of Exodus. Let's see what the Almighty says. 23:13, Exodus, what did he say?
The book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse number 13. Verse 13 reads, and in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of false Yahweh. Neither let it be heard out of your mouth.
He said, you children of Israel, I don't want another name to come out of your mouth. The world can call me whatever they want to call me. But I'm telling you, children of Israel, once you know you're children of Israel, he said, I don't want you to bring another name out of your mouth. Let's precept and find out what name he don't want. What name, any other name besides this name. Let's go to 6 verse 4 of Deuteronomy. Let's see what he's talking about. What name is rehearsed to the children of Israel to make, if you know you're a member of the children of Israel, he don't want another name to come out your mouth than this name. What name is that? 6 verse 4 of Deuteronomy.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse number 4. Verse 4 reads, hear, O Israel, the Yahweh, our Yahweh, is one Yahweh.
He said, hear, O Israel, the four-letter man is one four-letter man. Four letters, one name. One name. The world been beat down. It's time for the return. He told the seer Zechariah. He told the seer Zechariah. He said, Zechariah, are you gonna be the one that tell about my coming? He said, yes. But then you write down what I tell you to write down in 14 verse 9. You put this down when this world is beat down and everything is quiet.
Let me show you about how many names will be here when I got everything right. 14 verse 9, is that right?
Book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, and Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name one.
And his name is one. So you call him by every name that you want to keep calling. But when it's all said and done, you're going to call him by one name. And then he's going to tell you plainly what's going to happen about that one name in the 45th chapter, verse 23 of Isaiah. This is what he's going to tell you about. He told Isaiah, here go another seer. See, he let everybody give him a shot at this day. Every seer gets to say something about this name. Let's see what he said about this one name. He told Isaiah in 700 B.C. about this one name in 45:23. What did he say about the one name in 45:23 of Isaiah the seer? What did he say there, young man?
Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23. Verse 23 reads, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear.
He said, I swore by myself. He said, every knee is going to bow. Bow to what? What are they going to bow to? Precept of your Bible, Philippians 2, 10, and 11. What is every knee going to bow to? He said, I swore by myself that when I take over this known world, every knee going to bow. Bow to what? Then you precept your Bible. See what he's talking about. Philippians 2, 10, and 11. What is every knee going to bow to? Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11.
In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 10 reads, that at the name of Yahweh the Son, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Yahweh the Son is Yahweh, to the honor, the greatness of Yahweh the Father.
Yeah. See, when you precept your Bible, he said, every knee going to bow down to that name. You're not using the noun. That's up to you. All said and done, you're going to use them four letters. Y-H-W-H. Every knee going to get down to them four letters and bow down when you see what he says in St. John 5:43. What he say? He said, everybody gonna get down to them four letters, Y-H-W-H. And he gave you a shadow, and he told the disciplined ones, called the disciples, his followers, he told them something in St. John 5:43. What did he say in St. John 5:43?
In the book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 43 reads, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive.
You see that? He come in the Father's name. What's the Father's name? Is the Father's name Jesus? No. That's Satan. That's one of Satan's names. Father's name is YHWH. That's the name he came in. From 96 A.D. all the way back to Adam, it was no English to 449 A.D. It was no English. They did not speak English. The Bible of Revelation was closed in 96 A.D. From all the way back to Adam, it was no English. You go into the Hebrew, the Greek, the Latin, Semitic, and you find no words called Lord God of Jesus. They didn't exist. So what name he wants you to bow down to? English was talked about in 449 A.D. It became an official language in 1382.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible, all the manuscripts was closed in 449 A.D. So they never knew about a name called Jew, and they know nothing about a name called Jesus. Their name was added after the Bible was closed. That's why you got the word called Jew, the Jewish peoples. This is after the book was closed. Look up the record of English. The thought of it was 449 A.D. The official language became official language in 1382. But what did he tell John in 1:17 through 19? What did he tell John? Came from heaven to tell John something. And let's see what he told John in 96 A.D., 1:17 through 19. What are you telling that young lion?
Excuse me. You want the book of Revelation? Chapter 1, from verse 17 to verse 19. Book of Revelation.
17, 18, and 19. Yeah, 17, 18, and 19. That's what we want. Yeah, that's what we want, that young lion. We want 17, 18, 19, the first chapter of Revelation. 1:17, 18, 19, and remember, he coming from heaven to tell John something. Let's see, he tell John in the first chapter of Revelation 1:17, 18, and 19. What did he tell it?
The book of Revelation, chapter 1:17, 18, and verse 19. Verse 17 reads, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And have the keys of hell and of death. Verse 19. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter."
He said, "I'm the one that liveth and was dead, John." He came back to John about 30 years later. He said, "John, I'm the one that was, that you seen doubt that was hung on that tree and died. But John, I'm alive forevermore." Huh? He said, "Now, write the things that you see that have happened all the way back to it. And John, I want you to write the hereafter." So when John put his pen down in 96 A.D., the almighty story was told. And guess what? Guess what? It was no letter J and was no Jesus. The only Jesus of the Bible is the imagination coming from Satan, changing the true name from in his mind to those that follow him. Now, let's read 4 verse 1. Let's get a second witness on it. 4 verse 1. Revelation 4 verse 1.
Going over to the book of Revelation 4, and we'll pick it up at verse number 1. The book of Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 reads, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter."
So when John put his pen down, a story of the hereafter was told. It was no such name as Lord God Jesus Christ or Christian. Them is English words, and it didn't even exist. They didn't even exist. The word Christ and Christo and Christ means something that you can read in the book of Psalms chapter 2. This was the word they drawed it from. But you can't draw from nothing. But we know what you did. We know where he draws the word from. The song says he come in his father's name. So how you get Christian out of that and it wasn't no English? That word come from Christo. That was where Christ came from. Christo. Christo. But what is he saying? see what you're really saying. We go and see what you, what was you trying to, what words you try to cover up. You try to cover up words.
Mm-hmm.
We go and see what words you covered up. By going to Psalms chapter 2, you cover up a word, and you brought in Christ-like. What words did you cover up? You hid. We go on to Psalm chapter 2, and we'll pick up at verse 1 and 2. Let's see what word that you really covered up, a word. What word that you covered up that we can read? Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 and 2.
The book of Acts the book of Psalms, chapter 2, Psalms, chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 reads, why do the 17 nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed one.
Yahweh the Father and against his anointed one. Saying, Yahweh, you take counsel against Yahweh the Father and against his, against the Father's anointed one. And who is the Father's anointed one in verse 12?
The book of Psalms, chapter 2, picking up at verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled for a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
You see that? So the anointed one is the Son. The Father anointed the Son to get down there and get me something going on. The Father anointed the Son. Now, what's the precept of that? The Father anointed the Son. See, now you got to precept that. So this word, talk about the Son, you talk about the anointed of the Father. Gathered themselves against Yahweh the Father and against his anointed. Who? The Son. What can I precept that at? We just go to the 40th chapter Psalm. And let's find out. See, all you got to see, once you understand that when you precept the Bible, it'll let you know who is this anointed one by precepting the Bible. If you don't precept the Bible, you'll come up short. Find out about this being anointed. Let's go to Psalm 45 there, young lad. And we'll pick up at verse number 6. And we'll read 6 and 7. Let's see what we can get out of it. Psalm 45, verse 6 and verse 7.
The book of Psalms, chapter 45, verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6 reads, your throne, O Yahweh, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a right scepter. Verse 7. You love his righteousness and hate his wickedness. Therefore, Yahweh, your Yahweh, hath anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows.
Yeah. So, how many Yahwehs you see in verse 7? Yahweh the Father and Yahweh the Son. Yahweh the Father anointed the Yahweh the Son. So when you do the Psalms chapter 2, 1 and 2, and find out that Yahweh anointed somebody, you got to come over here to the 45th chapter and see who did what. Yahweh the Father anointed Yahweh the Son. See? So now when you go to Psalms 110 with that understanding that the Father anointed the Son. In verse 7, there's two Yahwehs there. Who is that? Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son have anointed thee with the oil of gladness for thy fellows. All your fellows is one is up. He above everybody. The Father anoints you to be above everybody. So now we go to Psalms 110 and pick up verse 1. Huh? Psalm 110, verse 1.
Going over to the book of Psalms. Chapter 110, picking up at verse number 1. The book of Psalms, chapter 110, verse 1 reads. The Yahuwah the Father said unto my Yahuwah the Son, sit you at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
You see that? So the Father told the Son, you sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies your footstool. So the Father said, come up here and just sit here. Just sit down. You got to wait till the six anointed camp. 12 out of every tribe, or the six camps, get this thing down pat, keep this thing uncut, meet them where they at, just sit down. I'm going to make the enemies that's contrary to what is taught by the six anointed camp, thy enemies, then I'm going to tell you something that we're going to read. So go to Hebrews chapter and find out again about these two Yahuwahs, Father and his Son. We're going to Hebrews chapter 1 and pick up verse 8. Let's see if we read a little bit down to 8, 9, and 10. Let's see if we find out a little bit more. See, the story is told all over the book. That's why the world must be taught over by the 12 out of every camp of the six anointed camps of Boston. Of the true Israelites. That's why the 12 must be off the milk and on the meat. So we're going to show you what happened and how to catch them every time. So now you see, if anybody used Jesus out of their mouth, they call him Satan the devil by the precept. Because Satan was the subtlety in Genesis 3:1. And Paul called him Satan right then and there. Just like in 3:1, he called the same thing when we read over there in Acts chapter, what that was, 13:10. Same word. He called the same thing. See, Paul just pulled scriptures. He recognized the spirit of Satan. That's why the name Jesus is the name of Satan. And we just precept that to show you that by going and looking at Acts 13, verse number 7, then skipping down to verse 10. Then licking them up real good by going to Genesis 3 and tie in the serpent, who you know is Satan the devil, met Eve with all type of sensibilities, whatever that word is, subtleties. So that's how you tie it in through the pages of the book. So when you call on his name Jesus, then you say by being a self-claimed leader, we got the love in Jesus. You telling your whole 32 million peoples plus to worship Satan the devil. So you see, you got the five or six anointed camp, repent, and be taught over again, because you're leading them wrong again, like all of the other leaders, never bringing in the four-letter man. That's the only way out is through the four-letter man, not through Jesus. You're calling on Jesus, you're calling on Satan the devil. He just showed you what the word called subtlety. 3:1 and Acts 10:10. Talking about Bar Jesus in verse 7. Calling him that name, Satan the devil, with your subtlety self. Yeah? Good. Now, we go on to Hebrews chapter 1, 8 through 10. And hear it again. What it say? Hebrews 1, 8 down to 10.
The book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the book of the Israelites, chapter 1, verses 8 down to 10. Verse 8 reads,
But unto the Son, he said, your throne, O Yahuwah, the Son, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Verse 9. You have loved righteousness and hated sin. Therefore, Yahuwah the Father, your Yahuwah the Father, hath anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Verse 10. And you, Yahuwah the Son, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand.
Now you see that? So you see that? So you see what, and we read that coming out of Psalm chapter 2. His anointing one. That means the Father anointed the Son. The Son came in the Father's name. How'd you get Jesus out of that? Because Satan the devil is the same one that we told Abram, you can't number the children of your people.
Mm-mm.
He got in David's head, said, David, go number the children of your people. See that? Contrary to it. So that's how he operates. When you're doing some Yahuwah business, Satan come immediately to snap the word from you. What do you mean, WCC? Where did he come immediately to snap the word from you? Okay, WCC. We'll show you where that, where you're coming immediately and snap the word from you. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. WCC, 500 million members. See, this is what you beat them down with. You beat them down with the word. See, you beat them down with the Almighty word. Let's go to the fourth chapter and see. Do Satan, as soon as you hear some good stuff, you come immediately and try to snatch it out your mouth. And that's why we took our time and take five. It wasn't no accident that whole gather of them let Satan get them off the track to taking care of Yahuwah's business. But one of the members of the 12 out of Camp 1 said, okay, I got the lesson. And he know what he got to do with the 11 that dragging their feet. Because if you miss a lesson, you miss a lot. See? So then we go on to the fourth chapter. And we look at this according to verse 13. Let's read a little bit in 13, because see, when he's talking to his Israelites, especially from the tribe of Judah, he was sending his followers down, the disciplined ones, and he said, listen, I'm going to tell y'all something in verse 13. Watch what he say. Let's read a little bit. Let's read down a little bit.
The book of Mark, chapter number 4. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 13. Verse 13 reads, and he said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. 15. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their mind. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. For when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. 17. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Verse 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse 20.
Yeah, good. Right there. You see that? So you see, you got some that hear the word and go through all kind of transformation. Ooh, I love that, I love that, and all that. And he'd be hitting them all kind of ways. He'd jump around like popcorn on them. Yeah? They unstable. You got to recognize the ones unstable in this word. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll pick up verse 18, read a little bit.
All right. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 13. We're going to pick it up at number verse 18. Book of Matthew chapter 13. We want verse 18. Verse 18 reads, "Hear you, work therefore the parable of the sower." 19. "When anyone hear the word of the king and understand it not, then come the wicked one and catch it away that which was sown in his mind. This is he which received seed by the wayside. 20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth." Verse 21. "Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended."
Verse, yeah, yeah, that's good. Right there. So you see that? So you got to watch that, those that it's going to be in the 12 anointed leadership out of all the camps. You got some that songs, the heat get turned up. They hear voices in the background. They hear Granny calling. Uncle Buck, I think Uncle Buck, ain't Uncle Buck, ain't he dead? You Uncle Buck calling, see? That's what happens to you right here. So you got to watch them. They'll take off. They are Galatians 5:7, what it say?
Going over to the book
Galatians. 5:7. Yeah.
Going over to the book Galatians 5, and we want verse number 7. The book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 reads, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?"
You see? He's running well. But then all of a sudden you got hindered. But one thing he told Samuel that we can read in 2 Samuel 3:18, he told Samuel something that he gave Samuel comfortable words. 2 Samuel 3:18. What did he tell old Samuel to say? To tell the children of Israel.
The book of 2 Samuel. We want chapter 3, and we're going to read verse number 18. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 18 reads, "Now then do it, for Yahweh has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people, Israel, out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies."
So you see the man saying? He said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save my people's Israel. I'm going to save you. But he got it written in 2 Ezra chapter 7, 56 and 57. I'm going to save you. But he said, but it's something I need you to know about being saved from your enemy. 2 Ezra 7, 56 and 57.
We're going over to the book of 2 Ezra. We're going to read verse 56 and we're going to read verse 57. The book of 2 Ezra. Chapter 7, verse 56 reads, "For while we lived and committed sin, we considered not that we should begin to suffer for it after death." Verse 57. "Then answered he me and said, this is the condition of the battle, which man that is born upon the earth shall fight."
You say you got to fight. You gotta fight this thing. This is the condition of the battle. And matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 6, so this is the condition of the, you got to fight. When your persecution come on you, you got to fight. You got to hang on in there. That's just the condition of the battle. And he's telling you in Galatians chapter 6, he makes it plain with you now. And 6, verse 16, what did it say?
Book of Galatians chapter 6, verse number 16 reads, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of Yahweh.
You see that? So you got to follow the rules. You got to get in order. Rules. It's rules, but to get this salvation. Rules. Order. You have to recognize when somebody is pulling your chain. Anybody call you a Jew, you know that's because Yahweh gave you that instruction.
Hallelujah.
He didn't tell you to call yourself no Jew.
That's
because if you call yourself a Jew, then you are what somebody called themselves Jewish.
But
both of them claim Isaac. And Isaac didn't have no sons called Jew or Jewish. Both of them, they that's in the modern night lesson. So you have to recognize this thing. Let's go to Psalm 147, 19 and 20. Psalms 147, 19 and 20. Then we go back to that third chapter and finish up where we left off on in 2nd chapter 3. Now we can finish that one up now. Let's go to Psalm 147, 19 and 20. These things we got to know. What it say?
The book of Psalms, chapter 147, verse 19 and verse 20. Verse 19 reads, he showed his word unto Israel, his laws and his laws unto Israel. Verse number 20. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgment, they have not known them. Praise you, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
See, they don't know his judgment. The one that called himself the Jew, the Jewish, and you part it, that means you don't know his judgment. He never gave you these names. These names came from Satan the devil. So how you going to rule and get, you going to hear that every last other leader come up short because they're going to try to pray you and don't, they're going to brush out of, get you back straight, but crooked in the name of Jesus, the Christ. And we just found the name came from Satan the devil. So now you will fall into another dead end again. How long are you going to keep doing the same old thing? Turn to the sixth anointed camp that's going to introduce you to the game changer, which is the four letters. And he makes it plain in Malachi 3, 16 through 18. Look what he said about these four letters. Look what he hears the man saying. He told a seer. It's another seer. He told Malachi the seer, hey, why don't you put this in before the Maccabees come in, the book they're going to take out, leaders out there around about 397 B.C. You know, leaders out there. All I'm going to read is bosses of the two Israelites. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, 16 through 18. What do you say?
The book of Malachi chapter 3, picking it up at verse 16 and 18. We want Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, read. Then they that fear the Yahuwah spake often one to another. And Yahweh hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that bought upon his name. Verse 17. And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Verse 18. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not.
Then you will know the one that serveth him, you the name. And the third chapter, verse 14 and 15, says what? Ephesians chapter 3, 14 and 15. See, now you're able to watch everybody in the pages of the book. Because we know you got to serve that name. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15.
Okay. The book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 reads, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Father, Yahweh the Father of our Yahweh the Son." Verse 15. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named."
You see that? So when he told Moses in 9:16, so it's plain. Exodus 9:16. So now you know everybody. If your day got it, you gonna have it when it's all said and done. One name, YHWH. And look what he told Moses, tell the children of Israel 9:16 of Exodus.
In the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 16 reads, "And in every deed for this cause have I raised you up, for to show in you my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all earth."
I want my name throughout all earth. 3:15 of Exodus. What name? What name you want out in all the earth? Exodus 3:15. What name you want out in all the earth?
Going over to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, picking up at verse number 15. Book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 15 reads, "And Yahweh said moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, the Yahweh of your father, the Yahweh of Abraham, the Yahweh of Isaac, and the Yahweh of Israel has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations."
My name never got to be Jesus. Yahweh, my name is the four letters forever. So you see with the children of Israel, the book note, and we can tell when you own something, you'll recognize that 3:15, which you will never read it. My name is one name forever. And when I return, that four letters going to be forever. Let's read that in Zephaniah, the closing statement, 3:8-10. Let's read Zephaniah 3:8 down to verse 10. And close the statement. Well, we'll get back on again tomorrow, there, young line, but it was no accident. So I went. Ain't no accident in Yahweh. Ain't no accident in Yahweh.
That's right.
3:8-10, to close the statement, there, young line. We'll catch you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Get back on whatever Yahweh wants to be on. Or take number 6. What it say?
Hey, going over to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. We're going to pick it up at verses 8 down to verse 10. The book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 8 down to 10. Verse 8 reads, "Therefore, wait you upon me, says Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to be gathered, is to gather the nation, that I may assemble the kingdom to pour upon them my indignation. Even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." Verse 9. "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yahweh to serve him with one consent." Verse 10. Four letters.
How many letters is that?
Four letters. Y-H-W-H.
Close the second, young line is all yours. Take your time. Catch you tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Okay. Thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day. And thank you, Yahweh, to allow me to be able to read the word of Yahweh today. And